Very important subject matter. So, just so we can get acquainted here. So, who among you has read some part of or all of the Nectar of Instruction? I mean, are some of you shy and you read it but you don't, not raising your hand? So you have at least probably 2/3. Okay. And for those who haven't, who are unfamiliar, we will make this subject matter easy to understand, if, even if it's your first time hearing it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So please repeat. Krishna iti yasya giri sammana sadriyeta. Dikshasti chet paris chabajantam isham. Shushushaya bhajana vigyamananyamanya. Indadi shunyam hida ipsita sangalabdhya. Krishna iti yasya giri tammana sadriyeta. Dikshasti chet pranati bischa bhajanta misham. Shushushaya bhajana vigyamananyamanya. Nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangha labdhya. Krishna iti yasya giri tammana sadriyeta. Dikshasti chet pranati bischa bhajanta misham. Shushushaya bhajana vigyamananyamanya. Nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangha labdhya. Okay, translation. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Please repeat. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha. And is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Panchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhi evacha paditanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha om ajnana timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshura anmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Vaishnava devotees, Lord, who are just like desire trees and who can fulfill the desires of everyone and are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master has opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. So we can... This verse is telling us about distinction between different kinds of devotees, isn't it? Right? So we've got three kinds of devotees. Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Yes? So Kanishta Adhikari means beginner. Madhyama, just like it sounds in English, it means the middle. And Uttama means the topmost level. So three levels of devotees of Krishna. Pretty simple. The category, the descriptions, there's a brief description for each of the three categories in this verse. And there's other descriptions elsewhere given in other parts of the scriptures, including the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, which is quoted in the purport to this verse. And also Srila Prabhupada says different things to characterize in different ways these three level devotees. In this verse, it doesn't only describe these three level devotees, right? It also instructs how one should relate to these three kinds of devotees, yes? So it says for the lowest level devotee, one should, at a minimum, one should mentally offer respect. That almost sounds like there could be something negative. There's something negative is there, but why not just offer obeisances like one is instructed to do for the middle level devotee? And then for the third level devotee, the topmost level devotee, it says that one should associate with them, faithfully serve, surrender to that person. So I have an idea of why I think this verse is important, and I was wondering if others might briefly say why they think this verse is important. So please go ahead. If you think it's important, that is. Bhakti John was first. Okay. Because if you were to take instruction from devotees, maybe not all of them will give you instructions that are as worthy of following as instructions from other devotees, right? Pretty simple. It's a good, thank you, Prabhu. Jagannath.
As practicing devotees, it's very important to avoid Vaishnava aparad. And we hear many, many instances in scriptures how by committing an offense, you know, the creeper of devotional service, it has even the potence, I mean, it can dwindle and eventually even die. So this verse, as Prabhu explained, Bhaktajan, it gives us indications how to respect all Vaishnavas, you know, carefully, you know, avoiding the minefield of offenses. That's why I think it is important.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you. Anybody else? One of the Matajis. Everyone's important. Okay, Prabhu. What's your name, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. My name is Rahul. I think this shloka makes special significance to me because it helps us realize that it's not just me and Krishna. There are others significantly important. Others, and we should be paying due respect to all of them, all the Vaishnavas. So in that sense, that brings me out of the isolation into a more, a bigger group of people who are following the same path. Mm-hmm. And the proven path, actually. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. So Each of these points, actually, is definitely very important, and they'll all be touched on as we proceed. Maybe one last comment. Someone else on this side of the room? Yes, Mataji. What's your name, Mataji? Oh, she needs the mic.
Mahati.
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 Okay.
It helps me to understand from where I can take help to progress in my spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And also understand that I have to respect everybody. Same thing, same point.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So clearly this verse is important because it's instructing us on how to deal with other devotees. That's clear on face value, and everyone gave comments on giving details about how it's important, why it's important to deal with different devotees in different ways. It's also important because if it's characterizing different levels of devotees, well, that might give us a little idea, if we want to be introspective, not only in understanding how to deal with other devotees, but in getting an idea of where we are, what kind of person, who am I, right? Because after all, the beginning of spiritual life is to ask, who am I, why am I here, and so forth, right? That's the sign of intelligence. So, of course, so we understand we're here because we understand we're spirit, soul, we're part and parcel of Krishna. But then there's another level of who am I, which is, if I'm a devotee, if I'm a spirit soul, I'm a devotee, okay, what kind of a devotee am I? So this is, to be introspective is a sign of advancement. So we should always be thinking like this. And then, to be able to focus on a goal, this verse helps us with that too, because it's describing the characteristics of different level of devotees. Perhaps one of the levels of these three levels is something beyond your now. If so, then this is giving you a description of what you may aspire to be like when you grow up in the future. But you can't, how can you try to achieve a goal if you don't know your situation now? So if you don't know where you are and you want to go somewhere, if you want to go to Florida, we're here in Pennsylvania. It's a little east, but basically it's a straight line south, right? But if you think that you're in Mexico, then you may say it's, you know, going northwest and then going east. So you can't, it's impossible for you to try to get towards your, it's impossible for you to achieve a goal if you have a false conception of your current situation. So knowing where you are and what you aspire to be like, this verse also helps with that. So then some people might wonder, when it comes to spiritual life, why should we even get so concerned with dealing with other people? And in this case, devotees. Why does that matter? If everything is spiritual, then everything is blissful. Everyone's blissful. What's the issue? This is like some sentimental stuff. You don't need to talk about that. Let's talk about some real philosophy. Everything is spirit, and that which is not spirit is not important. And that which is spirit, it's all perfect and one, and we can become one with it. That's impersonal philosophy. But this is what many people are thinking. When they hear something like this, they're thinking, let's talk some philosophy. Actually, this, to understand, to value, to find importance in the interaction between living entities is at the heart of the most sophisticated level of spiritual knowledge. So, Karuna, what's your favorite verse in the 15th chapter, part and parcel? So chapter 15, text 7, Krishna tells Arjuna that the living entities are all my parts and parcels. In the fourth chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna how to become initiated into the absolute truth, right? He says, try to approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. Yes? What's the verse? Well, that's a different good verse. That's a good one too, though. We can talk about that one later. So that's an important verse for devotees. Some devotees aren't aware of how important the immediately following verse is. The next verse talks about actually what that absolute truth is that someone may be initiated unto. So Tech Krishna says, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So the most intimate knowledge is that all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. So how to deal with other living entities is that the essence of the knowledge of a wise person. But then we can go deeper still. Lord Shiva tells Durga, maybe some of you know this verse. I think I quoted this last time I was here. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. My dear Devi, although the Vedas mention the worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost and is ultimately recommended. However, above Lord Vishnu is the worship of Krishna's devotees, who are related to Lord Vishnu. Yeah, who are related to Lord Krishna. So, people who want to understand spirit and worship God, the highest knowledge is that worship of the devotees of God is even higher than worship of God. Because if you worship God, but you don't understand the value of those who are very dear to Krishna, then it means you don't actually understand he who you're worshiping as God. And that's impersonalism. And that's at the heart of the vision of the first level, the Kanishtha Adhikari. He sees Krishna in the temple, and himself, and the devotees, other people, not important. So we can, let's see, we can read from the 11th canto. The 11th canto, canto 2, text 47, gives more explanation about this Kanishtha Adhikari. We'll read the Sanskrit. Archayame vaharaye pujam yasharaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sapakta prakrita smrita. Amazing. 47, Prabhu, sorry. Yeah. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple. Now that part was in the nectar of instruction, yes? It said that it says he's chanting the holy name. A devotee, here it gives more description. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general, is called a prakrita bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. So here, it's actually speaking in a rather negative way about the kanishta, because he doesn't behave properly towards the devotees. That means he behaves improperly, and it refers to him as a prakrita bhakta. So prakrita bhakta means materialistic bhakta. So he's in the lowest position of the devotees. So basically the prakrita bhakta, or the kanishta adhikari, he's kind of like the materialist. He has his, he esteems material life, and he has a material conception of life too. He doesn't necessarily, if he wants to enjoy material life, that means he doesn't understand that the results of the fruits of one's activity are temporary and limited, and therefore have no real value. He doesn't understand these points. So his desires are like a materialist, and his conception of life is actually not spiritual. And yet he's chanting the holy name of Krishna. Now chanting the holy name of Krishna, it's purifying. When he's worshiping the deity, it's purifying. If he continues, then he can become pure. And he can give up the materialistic activities and a materialistic conception of life. Madhvacharya describes more on this point. So it's not just me saying that. This is in the purport to the same verse. Oh, nice. Go down a little bit, Prabhu. A little more. I'll tell you when to stop. Okay, yeah. Srila Madhvacharya states, Archayam eva samstitam vishnum gyatvat taranyatra naiva janati yapuman. A kanishta adhikari has no idea that the Supreme Lord has the power to exist outside a church or temple. Furthermore, being puffed up by his own ceremonial worship, atmano bhakti darpataha, a kanishta adhikari cannot imagine that anyone is more pious or religious than he, and he is not even aware that other devotees are more advanced. Thus, he cannot understand the madhyama or uttama standard of devotional service, and sometimes be cried advanced devotees of the Lord, neglects them, or simply has no understanding of their exalted position as preachers or completely self-realized souls. So if you only see Krishna in the temple, if you don't see how Krishna is located in every living entity's heart, how every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna, that means you see Krishna's energy as separate from him. You don't recognize Krishna's energy to be Krishna's energy. Therefore, how can one live life with that conception without trying to enjoy material life? If you think that Krishna's energy is not his, then it has to be enjoyed by someone. If it's not to be enjoyed by Krishna because it doesn't belong to him, then naturally one will probably think that one should enjoy it rather than a stranger or someone that one doesn't know very well. So the kanishta adhikaris are actually materialistic in that they're trying to enjoy things of this world. So then when a devotee explains the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, how actually leading a materialistic life, doesn't lead one to happiness, and that it's based on, you know, desire to be like Krishna and envy of Krishna, right? Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 27. Then someone who's enjoyed to those very things that the preacher is criticizing, he may be offended by the preacher naturally. So a Kanishtha Adhikari can be offended by the Madhyama Adhikari. And then, as Jagadananda Prabhu was saying, there lies the danger for the Kanishtha Adhikari. Because of his misconception of who he is, Krishna, he tends to criticize advanced devotees, and then he makes an offense to them. And if he makes the offense, Vaishnava Parad, then he falls from even his lowest position as a devotee, and he can no longer even chant Hare Krishna. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna while on the other part of his time leading a material life and having a material conception, instead what happens is he leads a materialistic life, has a materialistic conception, but the chanting Hare Krishna part is out. So it's important to understand what a Kanishtha Adhikari does, how he sees things, and how it's not right. Because if you understand how it's not right, and if you understand how you might have, you know, a few symptoms of a Kanishtha, then it can help you to not be like that anymore. And it's important not just to maintain your current status, but it's important to help you to prevent in order for you to avoid falling down from even this lower level of devotional service. So it's important for that reason. So now we can read something from the Nectar of Instruction in this same verse, where Srila Prabhupada explains what one should do then, if one is in this Kanishtha platform. What should you do? You're not a Madhyama. You should be a Madhyama, but you're a Kanishtha. What to do? So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's the beginning of this. One should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari, one who is situated on the lowest platform of devotional service and is interested only in worshiping the deity in the temple. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. If you'll indulge me, I think we'll read that again, because we're just offering obeisances. Okay, so this is the paragraph at the bottom of the screen there. One should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari, one who is situated on the lowest platform of devotional service and is interested in only in worshiping the deity in the temple. So one should not do that. So how not to do that, if that's where you are? That is the question. And then Prabhupada explains further. If one doesn't get it, Srila Prabhupada then writes, scrolling down, one therefore has to raise himself from the position of a Kanishtha Adhikari to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. The Madhyama Adhikari is described in Srimad Bhagavatam in this way: Ishvare tad adineshu balisheshu disatsucha prema maitri kipo peksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. The Madhyama Adhikari is a devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the highest object of love, makes friends with the Lord's devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids those who are envious by nature. Now remember, the text of this verse 5 in Nectar Instruction, it describes the Madhyama as someone who's received Diksha. Now Diksha refers to the second initiation that we have in ISKCON. The first, we can refer to as Harinam initiation. The first, someone who has Diksha initiation and who is serving engaged in devotionals. So here are some more more description of the Madhyama. So that he relates to four ways to different persons. So what are those four? Aprabhu? Krishna, okay. So he relates to Krishna by worshiping Krishna, one. Make friends with the devotees, two. What? Merciful to the innocent? Merciful to the ignorant. Innocently ignorant. Okay. Three. And four. And avoids the atheists or the demons. So this is the Madhyama. There's more description, of the Madhyama. Let me see. You can scroll down a little more, Prabhu. If you can, it's a lot further. I'm sorry. There's a paragraph about three pages further that begins with "while giving instructions." There we are. Okay. So here we're going to have more elaboration on the nature of the Madhyama Adhikari. While giving instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided devotional service into three categories. Okay, let's skip this. The exclusive knowledge of the Shastras is not very strong, but it was developed firm faith in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and it was also undeterred in the execution of his prescribed devotional service. Should be considered a Madhyama Adhikari. Such a person is very fortunate. Now, there's other places where I've read Srila Prabhupada say the Madhyama Adhikari, he knows the conclusion, but he's not so well versed in the Shastra and the scripture that he can, defeat all kinds of atheistic arguments. So if you want to, sometimes we have to learn how to, make sense out of two different points that sound a little different. You can do that. So if the Madhyama Adhikari is undeterred in his devotional service and he has full faith in the conclusion, that means he must understand the conclusion. How can he have full faith in it otherwise? He doesn't understand how to explain it. He doesn't understand everything. So a Madhyama Adhikari is actually a very rare person, because someone who actually has full faith in the scripture, that means they never fall down. So the Madhyama Adhikari, there's comparison been made to someone at the level of Nishtha, like having been all anartas, anarta nivritti, all anartas being practically gone. Now interestingly, if you analyze these descriptions, we hear a description both of conduct and qualities. Yes. Conduct. The Madhyama Adhikari talks about how he relates to different persons. Relate doesn't mean just how he sees them, what he does. That's conduct. Qualities. Full faith. Kanishtha. Quality. respect for Krishna, not for others. Conduct. He's worshiping Krishna, but he's not following instructions necessarily of advanced persons. Now, so consider that. Please keep that idea in the back of your mind. We're hearing about both description of both qualities and conduct of each of these two levels of devotees. And then we're going to come back to this. We're going to see the apparent problem, but not a real problem, but apparent one. Okay. So I'm going to see, where is that? Okay, so on page, well, you don't have pages on yours, do you? Yeah. Let's see. It's going back that way. Scroll up. It begins with diksha, or spiritual initiation, is the paragraph. Yeah, okay. So, you're gonna see the issue in a second. So diksha, or spiritual initiation, is explained in Bhakti Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. By diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. So now the diksha, right, that's referring to this Madhyama Adhikari level. Again, there's different ways to categorize things, so we don't want to get caught up too much in that. But this is referring to a Madhyama Adhikari, someone who's attached to spirit, detached from matter. Therefore, it follows the Kanishtha. He's not necessarily attached to spirit and detached from matter. In fact, we heard he's attached to matter, and he's got some attachment to spirit, but he's still attached to matter. Prakriti Bhakta, right? That was the verse. That was what the Bhagavatam says. Prakriti Bhakta means materialistic devotee. Okay, so consider this. The Kanishtha is materially attached. The Madhyama is no longer materially attached. So how does the Kanishtha become a Madhyama? How does the person who's materially attached become materially attached? How does the Kanishtha become a Madhyama? Does he become a Madhyama by fully surrender? He can become spiritually attached by fully surrendering. Someone who's fully surrendered, that refers to the conduct of a Madhyama. Yes. Yes. What is the conduct of a Madhyama Adhikari? Undeterred in devotional service, engaged fully, surrendered. Yes. So if a Madhyama Adhikari is fully surrendered, it says that you have to be fully surrendered, you have to be a Madhyama to become spiritually attached and materially detached. So if a Kanishtha, how can a Kanishtha who's not fully surrendered, how can he become, he's materially attached, how can he become a Madhyama? Because in other words, basically, To become spiritually attached, you have to fully surrender. So it seems like it's impossible. But the answer is that fully surrendering, under the, instructions of the disciplic succession, Krishna to become a Madhyama. Because ultimately, Shravanadi Shudichitis Kariyeudoi. Everyone is eternally a devotee of Krishna. So everyone is actually more than a Madhyama eternally. So we just need to awaken it. So we can be a Kanishtha, but act on the level of a Madhyama, and then we will get the symptoms of a Madhyama. So we can try to fully surrender, even though we're materially attached, if that's, you know, you, as a Kanishtha, and then you can get this, you can develop the qualities of a Madhyama, and then you can be steady as a Madhyama. So it may seem very difficult, though, because a Kanishtha is materially attached, and a Madhyama has to fully surrender. So fully surrender means that you're constantly engaging in devotional service. But if you're materially attached, basically that means you don't want to do that. So this is why people say devotional service is difficult. Because they're attached to matter, And the only way to become spiritually attached is to fully surrender, meaning to engage in devotional service when that's not what you want to do. You're attached to doing something other than devotional service. So that's the difficulty. But simply by following it can be done simply by following the instructions of the spiritual master, and then one can get a taste to overcome one's material attachments. Let's see where that is. So if we scroll down a little bit, Prabhu. Not that far. A little higher. If one is so prepared. It's in the middle of that paragraph. Yeah, there you go. See, so on the top line there, go halfway across from left to right, and then we'll begin there. Okay. Actually, no, go a little further, I'm sorry. Where it says, such a person. Go a little down. Such a person. Yeah. Such a person should approach a spiritual master in order to take diksha. Srimad Bhagavatam also prescribes, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyita Jigyasu Sheya Uttamam. When one is actually interested in the transcendental science of the absolute truth, he should approach a spiritual master. One should not accept a spiritual master without following his instructions. Nor should one accept a spiritual master just to make a fashionable show of spiritual life. One must be jigyasu, very much inquisitive, to learn from the bona fide spiritual master. The inquiries one makes should strictly pertain to transcendental science, jigyasu shreya uttamam. The word uttamam refers to that which is above material knowledge. Tama means the darkness of this material world, and ut means transcendental. Generally, people are very interested in inquiring about mundane subject matter. But when one has lost such interest, and is simply interested in transcendental subject matters, he is quite fit for being initiated. When one is actually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and when he seriously engages in the service of the Lord, he should be accepted as a Madhyama Adhikari. So basically, if one really wants to give up one's material attachments and the conduct that one's attached to engaging in, then one must surrender to a bona fide representative of Lord Krishna in a line of such representatives and simply follow their instructions. And then one can do it. And Srila Prabhupada says that it's easy, actually. So on the one hand, it seems very difficult. It's went over, I'm attached to engaging in my attachments, and now I'm supposed to surrender. But I want to do this. It seems so difficult. So then the answer is, okay, surrender to a bona fide representative in a line of bona fide representatives coming from Krishna, follow their instructions all the time, and then you'll become attached to Krishna and devotional service. So it would seem difficult, but the method is there. But Srila Prabhupada says it's actually easy. This is from a lecture in Montreal, August 17th, 1968. So all my students present here who are feeling so much obliged, I am also obliged to them because they are helping me in this missionary work. At the same time, I shall request them all to become spiritual master. Every one of you should be spiritual master next. And what is their duty? Whatever you are hearing from me, whatever you are learning from me, you have to distribute the same in toto without any addition or alteration. Then all of you become the spiritual master. That is the science of becoming spiritual master. It is not a very wonderful thing. Simply one has to become sincere soul. That's all. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. So to follow the instructions is not very hard. The primary service of the Madhyama is any free time he wants to share Krishna consciousness to the innocently ignorant. And Srila Prabhupada says, it's not very hard. All you need to do is repeat what you heard from Prabhupada. Repeat it, and that's all. As Shruta Kirti book is entitled, What's the Difficulty? Yeah? Let's see. And now you've heard how the process is simple. But then what about your attachments? How are you feeling inside? You're just repeating what Prabhupada said, but you're not feeling it. You still want to engage in your sense gratification. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a purport, Srila Prabhupada explains more about what's going on internally for the devotee who's simply repeating what he's heard within the disciplic succession. So this is, I guess you won't bother. It'll be, but it's the Madhya Leela, chapter 24, text 277, somewhere in the middle of the purport. When a touchstone touches iron, it turns the iron to gold. Parvati Muni called Narada Muni a touchstone because by his touch, the hunter, who is the lowest of men, became an elevated and perfect Vaishnava. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the position of a Vaishnava can be tested by seeing how good a touchstone he is. That is, by seeing how many Vaishnavas he has made during his life. A Vaishnava should be a touchstone, so that he can convert others to Vaishnavism by his preaching, even though people may be fallen like the hunter, because Narada Muni, a hunter, became a great devotee by his association. There are many so-called advanced devotees who sit in a secluded place for their personal benefit. They do not go out to preach and convert others into Vaishnavas, and therefore they certainly cannot be called Sparshamani, advanced devotees. Kanishta Adhikari devotees cannot turn others into Vaishnavas, but a Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava can do so by preaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised his followers to increase the number of Vaishnavas. Yare Dekatare Kaha Krishna Ubadesha Mara Gyai Guru Hunatare Desh. Following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his disciplic session, one can become a spiritual master, for the process is very easy. One can go anywhere and everywhere to preach the instructions of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is the instructions of Krishna. Therefore, the duty of every Vaishnava is to travel and preach Bhagavad Gita, either in this country or a foreign country. So again, Srila Prabhupada says it's very easy. You just repeat what you heard. But what makes it so easy? Because what about your emotions? Because Srila Prabhupada says that one becomes like a touchstone. Well, this is what Parvati said. You become like a devotee who's preaching becomes a touchstone. That means whomever they come in contact becomes Krishna eyes, as Prabhupada would say. So how is that? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pavartana. That's also Kaliya Kalera Dharma, or Krishna Nama Sankirtan. So the spreading of the holy name of Krishna, or the preaching of the Shastra, it's only effective when it's empowered by Lord Krishna. So one can be a touchstone when the Lord, when one becomes Nimitta Matra Savya Sachin, as Krishna instructed Arjuna to be his instrument, if one becomes Krishna's instrument, then when one wants to follow this duty of spreading Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy name or explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita to others, then one simply does so as Krishna's instrument. So when we pray in the beginning of class, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, we're asking the Lord to bless our talk, because I can't say anything worth anything. But anything the Lord says is perfect. So we're asking the Lord to speak through us. So the devotee's duty is to simply repeat what he's heard, not like a parrot, as His Holiness Ramapada Swami said earlier this morning, but right understanding heard, and repeat it with the understanding that I am the servant of Krishna, and Krishna is what makes everything possible, including what I say. And therefore, Krishna can appear within the preacher's heart and become manifest in the preacher's words, And those words can enter into the person who hears the preacher, into that person's ears, and enter into that person's heart. That means that the goal of the preacher is to pray to Krishna for Krishna to enter the person to whom, the heart of the person to whom he's preaching. And in this way the devotee becomes, because no devotee in and of themselves are touchstones, but they're touchstones because everything is eternally connected to Krishna. So as soon as we just pray for Krishna to reveal that, then Krishna appears in us, and then anything we touch, they get to experience Krishna too. And now here's why the process of rising from Kanishka to Madhyam is so easy, despite how it's so hard because of our material attachments not to do what a Madhyama is supposed to do. It's so easy because we get to experience Krishna as soon as we preach properly. As soon as we reach out, we get to experience Krishna in a big way. Otherwise, our preaching is impossible. Yes? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. If you preach Krishna's message, it's only effective if Krishna empowers it. So the duty of a Madhyama is to ask Krishna to empower your preaching. And the person you're preaching to can't experience Krishna unless who else experienced it? The preacher. Thank you, Vinny. The preacher had to experience it. So if the preacher experienced Krishna, well, Krishna is what kind of person? He's attractive? Attractive, yes. So Krishna is all attractive. All attractive means more attractive than anything else. We said the difficulty from rising from Kanishna Madhyama is that you're attached to material things. But if you experience Krishna, he is more attractive than anything you were attached to. And therefore, you are no longer materially attached. Therefore, as Srila Prabhupada said, it's very simple to rise from Kanishka to Madhyama. So any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful lecture. I have a couple of questions, Prabhu. One is about the different subdivisions or the gradations within the Madhyamadhikari, if you would like to share some details on that.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while. So you mean like Kanishna Madhyama, 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 Uttama Madhyama? Yeah, I mean, as we were saying, there are so many different ways to categorize. Well, I wouldn't necessarily elaborate on these distinctions in a categorical sense right now, but using the philosophical understanding that we're just going through now, you can sort of get it, because a Madhyama is someone who's engaged in worshiping Krishna, making friends with the devotees, giving mercy to the innocent, giving them Krishna, and avoiding the atheistic and the demons, right? And then he's supposed to be fully surrendered. So what if you're rising from the Kanishka to the Madhyama level, but you know, you're not like 100% of the time doing it. You're just 95%. Okay, so maybe you're 5% Kanishka Madhyama. I don't know, you know. So that's the idea. The principle helps to understand that. But there may be some literature where it gives some specific characteristics that are distinct for these different levels within the broader Madhyama level.
Thank you. My second question is about when you're talking about Kanishka Adhikari, one of the things you mentioned was the deity. He only considers the deity and he doesn't have, or Krishna, and he doesn't have respect for others. So I was just wondering, in the case of Madhyama Adhikari, if one is not able to see the deity as Krishna himself, is that a particular mandatory kind of...
Say again, if one is not able to see...
Krishna as deity himself.
He doesn't recognize that the deity is Krishna, you're saying now?
Yeah, yes. So is that some quality that is inherent to Madhyamadhikari, or because he might see the deity as deity but not Krishna himself? I was just...
Well, I mean, we could... this much I can say. So the Kanishtha, he worships Krishna but not the devotees. The understanding is he understands the deity is God. But clearly, I think your question, you know, has definitely a solid basis to it, because he doesn't really understand that it's Krishna. Because within Krishna is all of Krishna's parts and parcels. So if you understand Krishna, as we read in chapter 15, text 7, and chapter 4, text 35 of Bhagavad Gita, remember in the beginning, to actually really understand Krishna means you understand that all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. So there's some understanding that Krishna is the deity, but it's not very deep. It's not complete. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhupada.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna. Somebody else? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. I had one question about... the theme was about how to recognize where we are and go to the next level. So in that context, you were explaining how we should act on the... For example, if I'm identifying myself with Kanishtha, then I need to act on the level of Madhyama. And then examples you described how when we try to serve the mission by engaging in the preaching mission, how Krishna's mercy will come and that will help us to grow. Like that you are describing.
Yes,
but we also hear that we should act based on our adhikar, where we are, and we should not act at a higher level than where we are. That is detrimental to devotion service. I want to reconcile these two.
Mm. Yes, I mean that question goes to the heart of the subject matter we're discussing. So basically what you're saying is like, if your Kanishtha, adhikara means qualification. So if your qualification is to be a beginner devotee, then I guess you should just stay there, right? But Prabhupada specifically says that, you know, and we read it, one should not remain in the Kanishtha level, and one should rise to the Madhyama. To resolve that issue philosophically, why does Prabhupada say that? You can understand because I quoted that other verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, not in full, but Shravanade. Anyone know the whole verse? Shravanade Shute Chite Kare. Anyone know the whole verse? Prabhu, you know this whole verse? Oh, so anyway, so this verse says that the Lord, everyone is eternally, everyone is Krishna Nitya Siddha Sadhya. Anyway, everyone is eternally, yeah. Okay, Shravanade Shute Chite Kare. Yes, I have the second line, not the first. Yeah. So everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. So basically, this adhikar to be like sort of in Maya, you know, the qualification to be an illusion, basically, but a little Krishna conscious. That's a covering of our real qualification, which is to be an eternal, which is who we eternally are, an eternal devotee of Krishna. And the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, done properly, it automatically awakens that real adhikar. And that's why we're able to rise from this lower adhikar to this higher adhikar. Because the lower adhikar is just temporary. Hare Krishna. It's Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I have this doubt always that me being a Kanishtha Adhikari, I cannot myself find out who is Kanishtha, who is Madhyama.
You cannot?
I cannot understand who is Madhyama and who is... I mean, Uttama Adhikari is very obvious for me, I think so. But sometimes...
Actually, the scripture says you cannot know a pure devotee unless you are one. But I'm not one, so maybe that's why I can't understand how you can understand. Okay, go ahead.
So in that process, I feel that I make offenses in recognizing wrong, in not properly recognizing. Sometimes I think Madhyama is Kanishta and Kanishta is Madhyama, something like that. So I have the tendency to offend also, like without my notice, I just fall into that. I'm already in that ditch of doing the offenses, so I get very consciously. So how do I deal with it? And one more question is, all Uttamadhikaris, they treat themselves as very, they think that they are inferior deity. And so how do I, and a Kanishta Adhikari also being knowing his Adhikari, he thinks he is Kanishta Adhikari. So
actually, Kanishta, we were hearing in a purport, Kanishta often thinks he is the greatest. That's what I did. I was still engaged in all kinds of materialistic activities, and I was already, my second book maybe, or third book was Nectar of Devotion, and I was a senior in high school in the late 1989, and I was trying to figure out which of the four primary rasas was mine with Krishna, because it was talking about the pure devotee. And I said, for some reason, I don't know which one, so. I wasn't even really a Kanishta. I was like something less than that. So.
Yeah, even I could qualify. I mean, I also tried to see something, anything below that, but I don't know. But these are only three categories given right now. So I say I just Kanishta. But how do you understand it, and how do I avoid myself doing that offenses and all?
Yeah, so I understand. So it seems to me it's a two-part question. Maybe I'm understanding right. One is, how do I know which of these I am? No, three-part. How do I know which of these three categories other devotees are in? And then, you know, since I have trouble understanding where other devotees are, how can I avoid making offenses, right? That's kind of what you're asking. I hope so.
I'm not, I myself know clearly that I'm Kanishta.
Oh, that you know. Okay, you know that part. Okay, I'm not acknowledging that, but I understand that's what you're saying.
My second question is about Uttamadhikari, how they always think themselves as very humiliating.
This isn't really, I don't know if you read the title to this class, but I deliberately made it comparing and contrasting Kanishta and Madhyamas, because my ability to speak about the level of consciousness of an Uttama, I could only repeat what I've read, but without much realization. So basically the descriptions in the Shastra about Uttama Adhikari are there to give us something to aspire to be, to be like, to become. But we cannot know the mind of an Uttama unless we are one. What we can recognize is the distinction between a Kanishta and a Madhyama. So you should be able to do that, because the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that we read about the Madhyama, it describes about his conduct, not just his state of mind. And it describes the conduct of a Kanishta. So it's hard to understand someone's state of mind. Now the Uttama, generally in this world, like Srila Prabhupada, no devotee argues that Srila Prabhupada was not a Uttamadhikari or a Mahabhagavat. But he acted as a Madhyama. That's what Uttamas do generally, unless they go to Radha Kund, which Srila Prabhupada said we shouldn't do. So basically the Uttamadhikari acts as a Madhyama. So how can you tell if a Madhyama is an Uttama or a Madhyama? Their conduct is the same. Well, we're hearing a Nectar of Instruction, Uttama. The greater devotee you are, the more devotees you make. So that's there. But basically, instead of trying to look at something that's more difficult to discern, let's look at something that's more simple. Simple if you have the understanding. The understanding is the Madhyama, he worships Krishna, makes friends with the devotees, and he goes out, and he, with all his free time, he gives Krishna to those who are innocent, and he avoids those who are envious. Kanishta doesn't do that. In the Kanishta's spare time, he's interested in how to increase his material opulences. So that's how you can tell. So actually a real sign of advancement, which there's amongst our devotees, is actually respect and desire to be like the Madhyamas, not just to respect the Uttama Adhikari and everyone else. Wow. Because that's actually, that's one step removed or one step above the description of the Kanishtha that we read in the Bhagavatam. The Kanishtha, it's me and Krishna. But maybe as, what was your name again, Prabhu? Sudhir, right. Sudhir, right? Yeah. So I guess we could have a Madhyama Kanishtha, right? You said there's different levels. So a Madhyama Kanishtha, maybe an Uttama Kanishtha, it's me, Krishna, and my guru. Krishna, Guru, and I. I'm old enough to know the difference between me and I. So Krishna, Guru, and I. So that's like a more advanced Kanishtha. It's not just Krishna and I. Now we've got the Guru there too. But what about all the preachers? Someone who's more advanced, he offers respect to the preachers. After all, they're acting as the instruments of the Lord. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. We don't just respect them because for the sake of respecting them. We respect them because they are carrying Krishna. So if we worship Krishna, then we have to worship them because they're embodying Krishna in their activities and their words. So the Madhyama Adhikari, Srila Prabhupada said, he's very advanced. He's fortunate. So Kanishtas are, we should offer great respect to the Madhyamas. And great respect doesn't mean now we're gonna have a respect offering contest. You know, let's see, this one is doing more advanced, so we're gonna offer him the Ghee lamp first. Not necessarily like that. But it's the way to offer respect is you help them do what they're trying to do. Let's be practical. Help them out. So the devotee is out trying to spread Krishna consciousness, two hands and one mouth and two legs. So he needs some other people to help him out. Or she needs some other people to help her out. Right? Donna Kaylee's a preacher. She needs some people to help her out. She's a preacher. So we gotta go help them. And this is actually what it really means to respect the middle level devotees. You help them to preach. And if more devotees can rise from Kanishtha to Madhyama by understanding and acting on this principle, then our Hare Krishna movement can undebatably be referred to as a movement. But if there's a lot of people who are worshiping Krishna in their own home and then they say, hi, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, you know, but that's not a movement. But the movement is when we're spreading. And spreading is not possible if the people at the lower level don't help the middle people to spread it. A movement means it's moving at all levels. And when the Kanishtas help the Madhyamas, naturally the Kanishtas become Madhyamas because they're acting like the Madhyamas. And then they become touchstones for Krishna's mercy, touchstones because of Krishna's mercy acting through them. And so they become spiritually attached. And then they're Madhyamas too. So Srila Prabhupada says one should not remain a Kanishtha. This movement is not a place for people just to chant Hare Krishna in their closets, worship the deity, and smile and say Hare Bol. This is a place for us to give compassion with the fallen souls. Srila Prabhupada, my guru, they gave me so much. And I'm so unworthy of what they gave me. I have so many anartas, so many things I've done wrong in the past, and yet I was given this. Let me do something for them. What should I do? It says here, go out and spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, there's no one more dear to he than me. Sorry, there is no one more dear to me than he. This is how you can repay your debt to Srila Prabhupada. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhu. I have one more question.
Oh, okay.
About Madhyama Adhikari, you said the strong faith is developed from, they progress from Kanishtha to Madhyama Adhikari. The strong faith can only develop when they have enough knowledge. Right, Prabhu? So, I'm confused in that point when when they attain only enough knowledge, then they will be able to gain the strong faith,
sure,
unflinching.
So there's gyan and there's vigyan. So gyan is a philosophical understanding, and vigyan is you know how to apply that philosophical understanding in your life. It's called realization. So the Kanishtha, he needs at a minimum that philosophical understanding. Otherwise, he's not even going to want to try to get the realization in the first place. So for someone who's not ready to act on a Madhyama level, the solution is keep chanting Hare Krishna mantra and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the scripture from devotees and Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, by hearing, you'll get the knowledge. And then with that knowledge, eventually it'll, kick in. Oh, I should be doing what they're doing. And then when you start to do it, then you'll get the realization.
So my question is,
when
he has that enough knowledge, then only he'll develop that strong faith. So is it like he's not able to express it? Even Uttamadhikaris, they have very strong faith and they have full knowledge. But it's just that if they cannot say, they cannot be in that... So my only question is that Madhyamadhikari also have knowledge, but is that he's not able to express it?
Madhyam, full faith. So he basically never falls down. Someone who's fully on the Madhyama level. So his faith is phenomenal, actually. And his knowledge is excellent. But it may not be at the level of, someone who can answer every question and, who convinces everyone about every aspect of scripture. But he's at a very, very high level, actually, compared to generally what we see around us. So I hope I've helped.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so... one last question, or we'll end there. Okay, yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I want to share first why I'm asking this question. I'm asking this question because I come from an understanding that once we start chanting, Lord's name is as powerful as the Lord, and therefore, gradually it is a matter of time that we reach there. So with that assumption, with that understanding, my question is there any difference in degree or in type between the Kanishtha Adhikari and the Madhyama Adhikari? In other words, is it just a matter of time that a Kanishtha Adhikari would graduate to a Madhyama Adhikari, or he has to make some deliberation? Because I think...
If the Kanishtha keeps chanting...
Yes.
If he chants properly, then it's just a matter of time. But the problem is that if he's chanting, but he's also engaged in material activities, then he may chant improperly, or he may not chant at all. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says one should not remain at the Kanishtha level. One should rise to the Madhyama, which means act as the Madhyama, because the Madhyama gets a taste because he's experiencing Krishna through his spreading Krishna to others, because otherwise he can't spread it. So by experiencing Krishna, then he gets a taste for chanting the holy name, and thus he will continue, and therefore the Madhyama, he generally does not fall. So by the Kanishtha, he can fall because he's not... He's a prakriti bhakti. He has all these material things going on. Make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. And maybe one person, if they didn't say anything yet, if there's any such person who wanted to. Otherwise, I think we're done. Krishna Archana Mataji, senior devotee. Hare Krishna.
In the description of the Madhyama Adhikari, there's the emphasis on making friends with devotees, and there's the emphasis of the preaching aspect of, and you know, having that, being able to make the distinction between the innocent and those that are obviously opposed to Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. So sometimes on a practical level, you know, we're, you know, in the institutional setting, there's a kind of organizational structure where emphasis may be placed on preaching and
emphasis may be on
preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may take the form, let's say there's the central institution and then there's bhakti vriksha groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of development in Krishna consciousness then may back into the central institutional structure, if I can call it institutional structure, where there's preaching, let's say, to newer persons who may actually somehow of their own volition have come into that setting. And so one may witness persons going through the preaching mode, but at the same time there's often a disconnect with being able to be friends with devotees. And this is always an interesting phenomenon, and so maybe in one sense my question would be, what is the way to be of assistance to persons that are going through the preaching but are having the disconnect with the friendship with fellow devotees? Who, so that would be the question.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question combined with observation. First of all, I think perhaps I comment on the observation based on the philosophy we were discussing. And thanks to Sudhir was pointing out there could be different levels of madhyamas. So Srila Prabhupada, basically, he empowered us to become madhyamas, although we don't have the adhikar, right? We don't necessarily, we may not have the adhikar, but he empowered us to do that. So many persons, they still have some kanishta-like mentality, but then they're acting as madhyama in some ways. So they may be acting as a madhyama preaching, but they still have this some kanishta mentality where they, it's me, Krishna, and those who are part of my preaching sangha. So that's another, you know, as soon as kanishta basically is whenever you exclude others as being worthy of respect, who are in fact worthy, that means you're kanishta. This sectarian vision. Sometimes people who are claiming to be very broad-minded, sometimes they're the ones who are sectarian too. So this is another kind of sectarianism. That's it. So Krishnarja is describing how sometimes people are preaching, but then they kind of break up into their, they don't make friends with other preachers or other devotees, and it's just, and they're very involved in their own thing. And that happens. And, you know, when in default, I rely on the advice of my guru. So Rohanpad Swami was saying, was it today or yesterday? He was saying, I think today, he was saying, rather than dwelling on how others are wrong, you can do what's not right, right. I think that's what he said. I almost said it verbatim, the last part anyway. So show by example, right? Is that the name of Gurudas's book? Something by, no, that's another one. No, but by his example, huh? By his example, that's Gurudas's book, right? Yeah. They all have so many nice books, yeah. So many nice biographies about Prabhupada. So, yeah, so showing by your example. But no, I mean, but discussing these points, like I'm discussing these points about respecting, I made a point which possibly might seem the slightest bit controversial, that someone whose worship, it's just Krishna, the deity, and me, and my guru, that's a kind of Kanishtha mentality, not respecting it. And then so discussing that in a friendly way with philosophical understanding and showing by your example, I don't really do that, but doing all of that can help cure the problem. And then similarly, you brought up another kind of example, which I see and you see sometimes, which is devotees, they act as preachers, but they're not necessarily welcoming or friendly with other preachers. So it's very, very important to be very, very humble. And sometimes we have to just, you know, we work on ourselves and be really humble, and then we can make a difference like that. And then we try to discuss like this. And I know Rohanpad Swami, for example, he tells me, you know, he's like, try to work on the relationship with this devotee, and can you go meet with that one? And I'm like, why do you want me to meet with, I don't say that, but so, you know, to work on, because there's, in some parts of this country, not all devotees are working together. In a part of the country where I'm from, that's clearly there. So sometimes it becomes difficult when devotees are, sometimes it even becomes institutional. Not just that there's different groups of devotees within ISKCON not working together. Sometimes you've got separate institutions, or sometimes you've got things that are not officially different institutions, but practically they are. What do you do? Then the problem is even larger. So again, we just have to be really humble, preach the message with deep understanding, show by example, and then if you can, try to develop relationships with those who may not take the initiative to develop the relationships with you. Can take the, although sometimes it means eating humble pie. Okay, so I think this was a lovely discussion, and I am honored that all of you were participated in it with myself, and I hope that we can all help the Hare Krishna movement to become stronger and full of happy devotees, and that we all of us are part of that larger group of happy devotees. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.